each other for the mic, or you can shout.
Oh, no.
So I'm sure that there are some questions after those interesting presentations.
Can share.
But I want to ask.
Come on, Julia.
Well, I, this is a really silly question, but I guess it's bigger than growth first. So, yeah, I was just wondering, but you mentioned this, the class warfare that's in both Charlie's War and, sorry, I'm not naming the other one.
Tardy.
Yeah.
Tardy.
But it's the Charlie's War that I stuck on, and I was wondering if it was just coincidence that was produced in the early years of Thatcher's Britain, or whether or not you could say anything about that, whether it was sort of like a Shakespearean political commentary that way, or whether it was just coincidence or what.
Well, as I mentioned, Pat Mills, the writer of the series, is declared Marxist, and he did a few other series as well. One of them is about a hitman, and even with the Hitman series, he does a critic of the class system in England. The hitman, like, he kills, why? Because he wants nice clothes, nice cars, nice motorcycles, and so on. So he wants to be in the upper level. So that's what makes him kill.
So,
and yeah, it's recurrent. But of course, it's exacerbated, like, under the Thatcher's years. I'm sure there is. I'll read them and I'll be back. Yeah.
I just want to hear what you think of what would be particular about, excuse me, the graphic novel genre over other genres of literature.
Are you distinguishing
what
here?
Others might not offer. I just want to hear your thoughts.
Here we can compare, let's say, literature with graphic novels and cinema. Each has its strengths, of course. And what you can do with graphic novels, maybe you remember the model, you see exposition, crisis, and denouement. And with a film, you can reproduce reality as it happens, unless you have an explosion, boom, everyone blows up. With the graphic novels, you can enhance the horror, let's say, by choosing a specific moment when the shell explodes and you see an arm rising in the air. Or you remember when I showed you the poilu that was shot in the head, you see that this the long drop of blood long drop of blood coming out. Maybe there's some brain in there as well. So that's what you can do with the graphic novels. You can pinpoint an exact moment and freeze it and show it in all its gory horror. Some questions for Christina too, as well? Yeah?
I'm curious, Christina, can you comment on the change in the way the First World War was portrayed in the films you talked about? You talked about the All Quiet on the Western Front. You know, you talked about the films made in the war and shortly after the war. There's been more recent films made on the
war. There was this World Prize Glory in the 50s, John Ford.
And
which one?
Gallipoli.
I haven't seen it, sorry. What prompted the change? Well, obviously, these films just were made quickly, not very professionally, and they were made with propaganda purpose. Now, the thing with propaganda is that we know what propaganda is. We talk about propaganda, but we don't know, we can't measure the effect of propaganda, because there are so little psychological studies on really the effect of propaganda. Is it really effective, or just people get fed up and they stop paying attention. That's the effect of Mithridatization that Alul speaks about. And I from what I know, and I've read quite a bit, he is the most profound scholar of actually the psychological effects of propaganda. But still, we don't know to what extent the propaganda, film propaganda, helped the war effort in the US. My sources pointed to the fact that actually visual propaganda and newspaper propaganda was much more effective at that time than film propaganda. Actually, film became an art or came out of its diapers in the 20s, and that's it's quite understandable that the good films about the realistic films. They are also patriotic films. I mean, you can't expect that they would show that the Americans are the bad guys. But were made in the 20s. And, yeah. And, yes.
I think it would be a good idea, from an academic point of view, to try to measure the impact of propaganda on a nation's population. Would that study be enhanced
Yeah, propaganda and censorship go hand in hand, I mean, as we all know. I don't know who's going to finance this study. You can count me, but just, I mean, we'll...
casualty lists that appear in the nation's daily and weekly newspapers after every major and minor battle in which Canadians are involved would suggest that the war was a grim thing. And so then against that you've got propaganda that I'm assuming tries to vilify the enemy. Do people believe any of it?
Well, that's an interesting question. I have to tell you that growing up in a communist country, we didn't trust propaganda a single bit. We just didn't believe it, whatever they were telling us. And when I came to Canada and I saw some things, I said, maybe they had a point. But that's how it was. So, yeah, it's an interesting case that nowadays propaganda and censorship go hand in hand with conspiracy theories, which saturate the field to such an extent that you might just say whatever outrageous truth you want to say, and it will just be, nobody's going to react to this, because people think that, oh, well, this is another one of these. So it's that's what's kind of interests me right now.
Maybe this is a follow-up question, but again, would you categorize the 1960 documentary that you showed here
yes.
as propaganda, or is it an attempt to
And that's a very good question, like all questions so far. Thank you very much. The thing is that the propaganda, the official view, creates some kind of a watershed, or how can I define it? Like a solid point, which you might agree with, then you become brainwashed, obviously, or you don't agree with. And this is the same thing with film. Like, there were these films who were financed, were supposed to be propagandistic films, et cetera, et cetera. But they turned out to be very profound, somber documents of the reality of war. It's the same with any totalitarian state, which nationalizes the industry, gives money, a lot of it, expecting that the film industry will produce film that will boost their politics and their ideology or whatever. But then there are these films that appear, these works of these artifacts within a propaganda environment that actually challenge the official point of view. And actually they not only are interesting achievements from the point of view of the thinking human, but also they are artistic achievements. They push the limits of the film language, as I said, because both the Soviet avant-garde and these films are a result, are side effect, I would say, of propaganda. And this is amazing that we, like, you know, that's what gives me hope, that you force people into something, but people never fully obey. They always, with their creative spirit, just gets around this. What is the official party line or whatever, and create something very interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Those are staged scenes. The combat scenes were staged.
Not all of them.
All of the combat scenes.
Not all of them.
Okay,
not all of them. I'm right there.
Okay. We'll have a fight over a glass of wine. Okay. One thing that's very impressive is the response of the public to the film, though, and you alluded to that. The fact that the people wrote letters to the Times and they were moved very profoundly by the experience of watching the film, and they felt that now they had actually seen it. They had no sense that anything had been staged. They believed they were seeing the real thing, and they could now identify with the suffering of the soldiers in the front line. But what's very interesting is that they didn't respond to that film the way perhaps a later generation or later generations might feel they ought to have responded. They did not respond by saying, oh, what a terrible war, we've got to stop fighting. Their response was, now we know what the men at the front are going through, we've got to give them every bit of support we can.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Absolutely. That was the way people responded at the time. I saw a hand at the back. Yeah.
You mentioned Griffith as your archetype American filmmaker.
Melodramatist.
Dramatist, sorry.
Melodramatist. Oh, no,
okay.
I can't answer that question.
Another question there.
This is a question for Sylvain. Coming back to your both of them were from the victor's side, from the victor's perspective. So you had a French perspective and a British perspective. In your survey of when you were looking at graphic novels, and I know you have a keen interest in Japanese graphic novels as well,
Well, that's a very elaborate question. There's, as I told you, in both the English language and French language, there are lots of productions. In Germany, there were a few graphic novels made in the 80s, I think. And again, they were deconstructing the hero. So they would, for when it comes to the First World War, like they would not make heroes out of it. In Japan, of course, their participation in the First World War was quite limited. There are some mentions of the First World War. I found one in graphic novels for girls called Candy Candy that was published in the 70s, and it's just like as a background for the whole story. At one point, the one who Candy is in love with goes to the Great War, and she becomes a nurse, and then she finds him back anyway. So it's part of the love story. So if it's easy a hero or not, it's not really, they don't really talk about. But also your questions is referring to how the Japanese will deal with the hero after the Second World War, because that's the war they went through. And there were various kinds of answers to that. Well, first of all, as you know, Japan was occupied for 6 years by the Americans, and there was like heavy censorship during that time, so they were not allowed to, they could do movies, for example, but they could not show any Americans. So like when Kurosawa was doing his movies under Japanese occupation, like you could not see a single American because he was not allowed to do it. Now, after the Americans were gone, there were two movements. One in favor of, let's say, the just punishment. So Japan was punished, and it's their own fault. And then you can read war stories in the manga about Japanese soldiers being abandoned by their own country and so on. And on the other hand, you also have another current that you can maybe link with the Yasukuni Temple in Japan, in Tokyo. Yasukuni is a kind of a shrine for all the soldiers who died during the war. And they also enshrined some people that are considered war criminals. And so it's kind of a revisionist view of the war. And for those people, in those manga, the point is that we lost the war because our technology was not up to it. So we should have had like more technology, because that's what defeated us. It's not really the value of the soldier or the value of the person. And you can kind of feel it through, like, as you know, Japanese propose lots of stories about robots and robots that evolve always, always, and always. Even the Pokemon. My daughter just started playing with Pokemon. And the Pokemon cards, like, you have the basic Pokemon, and then stage one, stage two, and so on. So there's always that idea that you have to go through evolution to be able to vanquish your enemy. So in Japan, like, you would find those two approaches post-war in Japanese manga. That brings us way back, far from.
Yeah, we're a long way from
the Great War.
1914, but that's fine. I think I can't see Robert. Are they waiting for us upstairs?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, hello everybody. I was wondering if everyone here, if you would have some time and could help us out with the little problem we have. Upstairs on the sixth floor in room 610, easy to find. We have some wine, some cheese, some coffee, and some cookies, and I'm going to have to eat them all. So if you could come and assist me with that, it's all free, all complimentary, and it would be great to talk to you and talk to our speakers tonight. And I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Did you have the last word? If you want,
I would just like to say thank you to our very knowledgeable